is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good night and welcome to the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Janelle Carter. I'm getting a lot of feedback tonight. Not sure. Okay. Good night, everybody, and welcome to the show. Producer, there's a lot of feedback. I'm not sure what's going on. If you could just look into that for me. All right, welcome to another show. Hello? Seems to be some technical difficulties here. Hello? Okay. I don't know why it's coming through like that. Producer, can you hear me? It seems to be echoing. Anyway, hopefully, okay, that's a lot better. Thank you very much. So welcome to the show. It's with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright. I'm a family medicine specialist. So welcome to the Doctor's Inn on Guardian Radio. We are live on Facebook, the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. D. Archer, as well as guardiantalkradio.com. You can catch us there on their website. And of course, we have another exciting show about all things health and wellness and pertaining to the society. The numbers here at Guardian are 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259 if you want to jump into the conversation or you want to ask a question as we go along. Tonight brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical health need. We are a family medicine clinic, so we see children, adults, everybody. And so whatever you need, come check us out. The numbers there are 326-1521, 429-4880. You can find us on Facebook, MCS or Medical Concierge Services. Also on Instagram, that's medical_concierge_services. And of course our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com for all the different things that we do. So we do regular clinic care as well as home care. So if you need a doctor or physician to come to your home, you can check us out. If you need healthcare assistance in terms of helping with your healthcare management, of course, and a variety of other things like IV vitamins, microneedling, a lot of different things. So check out the website. Now, tonight we are talking about a topic that I've been really interested in and looking into a lot. We've been talking earlier in the year about, you know, making changes, lifestyle changes. How do we lose weight last week? How do we lose that belly fat? And we realized it had a lot to do with our nutrition and the foods that we eat. So I wanted to look specifically at intermittent fasting and, of course, the keto diet and how those link together are really, really, you know, people are using that to get back on track and change a lot of things in their health. So I'm going to talk about that tonight. We're going to start off by talking about intermittent fasting. How do you get started? What does it mean? What is it all about? And then we're going to look at how we introduce keto into that. And is it good for you? Is it something that you should try? Is it something that might work for your lifestyle? So if you're looking to lose weight or you're looking to change, you know, your habits, if you're pre-diabetic, if you are even, you know, have some issues going on and you want to just have a chance to reset your health, this may be something that you're interested in. Of course, any kind of changes in your diet or your lifestyle, you consult your personal physician as well. Very helpful, especially for your own specific needs. So we're going to look at intermittent fasting. We're going to talk about who can do it. What does it mean and where does it get started? So basically, it's one of the most popular kind of fitness trends or health trends that have been going on for quite some time, and people have been back and forth. Some people like it, some people don't. But a lot of people use it to help them to spur losing weight, to improve their health, and to just simplify their whole lifestyle of eating. Many studies have shown that it's actually quite powerfully affects your body and your brain, and it helps you to live longer. So we're going to look at how do we get, what is intermittent fasting and how do we do it? And I would say that naturally, as we go through this, I find that why I think I want to take this approach this year and getting more back into it is because when I look back at how I used to eat and deal with food, it's very similar to the patterns of intermittent fasting naturally. So for me, it's a natural fit. For some people, it's harder to not eat at certain times, but I tend to not be someone who really likes to eat breakfast in the morning and different things like that. So this fasting state is actually closer to my natural habits. And you know, realizing that with having kids and life and stuff, I picked up very different habits along the way that I had to really kind of look at and refocus on. And so this is kind of closer to how I would normally behave with food. So basically, intermittent fasting is an eating pattern that cycles between periods of fasting and eating. And so fasting is just sustaining from food, sustaining from caloric intake as much as possible. It doesn't really talk about the specific foods that are involved, but that's where we're going to add and kind of look at other diets like the keto diet and see how that actually helps in it. It's just kind of a pattern in the way that you eat. So it's not a diet in the conventional sense, but it's more accurately describes what we call an eating pattern. So it's more of the way that you're going to set up when you eat your food. The most common type of intermittent fasting involves kind of 16 hours of not eating or fasting, or some people fast for a full 24 hours, and they do that different times during the week rather than a continuous time. And so if we look at fasting is something that's been done throughout the ages, throughout human evolution. And when we look back at how ancient people, how they ate, you know, they didn't have supermarkets, they didn't have refrigerators. They got food on availability, you know, farming, they had to go and gather their food. So it was very different. And so there were periods in time where they would just not have food and they would be working and doing other things and they were able to do it. So basically the human body is actually able to function really well without food for extended periods of time. In fact, over time, it's a lot more natural for your body to eat less meals than we do today. So when we look at how we eat today, we eat 3 to 4 meals per day. And if you look back, people did not eat as often as that. And usually what we eat today is very high calorie food. We're not working and being as active as people way back in ancient times. So these people were getting up in the morning, they were plowing fields, they were doing things for themselves. They would walk everywhere unless they were very wealthy. And so it was a very different lifestyle. And so they were eating less, taking more calories, but actually working more. So some of the things, even in the ancient diets, if we look at even some of our ancestors, the very starchy foods, we will see that we can't really tolerate that much, because the average person today, they jump in the car, they drive, even if they're walking someplace, it's in between like bus. So it's not that kind of lifestyle where we are just burning calories all the time. Fasting also in many religious sectors use fasting in different spiritual beliefs, including Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and Buddhism. So they all use fasting as a spiritual way of getting in touch with oneself. So intermittent fasting is basically an eating pattern that cycles between periods of fasting and eating. And it's a very popular in the health and fitness community today. So what are the methods? There are different methods that one can take when you are interested in getting into intermittent fasting. So there's several ways of doing this, and it involves the way that you split the day up into eating and fasting. And during the fasting periods, you eat either very little or nothing at all. So the most popular method, as we briefly mentioned, is the 16-8 method. And that basically is what we call the lean gains protocol. It involves skipping breakfast and restricting your daily eating periods to 8 hours between 1 and 9 p.m. Then you fast for the other 16. So what you do is, it's not always a calorie restriction where you're eating way, way less, but you're kind of putting all your calories together at the same time. And then we'll see how you change the types of food that you eat within that time period. And I'll kind of discuss it later, but the interesting thing about that is it has a lot to do with insulin and insulin resistance, which we briefly talked about last week. Whereas when you're not eating, your level of insulin actually is not high. And so insulin causes you to feed off of sugar, whereas when your insulin is lowered, you can start feeding off of the fat in your body. And this is what leads a lot of people to losing that fat that's so hard to lose. And we'll get into that a bit later. Another method is the eat, stop, eat. And this involves kind of people fasting over 24-hour periods once or twice a week. For example, by not eating from dinner one day until dinner the next day. So they actually take a 24-hour period where they don't eat a full meal. And so depending on your health and, you know, what you're able to do, that's why those ones are not quite as popular, because it's a little bit tougher, you know. And I would not start there in terms of looking at fasting at doing an entire 24 hours. That can be a lot. And then of course there's the 5-2, where, you know, people limit their calories a lot to 500, 600 calories on 2 days and then eat normally for the rest of the week. So that's very restricted on your calories, also possibly very difficult for a lot of people. And, you know, if you have health issues or you're diabetic, that may not be the choice for you. So the most popular one would be the 16-8. And I've seen where people can kind of start there and then they can kind of bring those numbers down until, you know, you could have one or two meals per day. So by reducing your calorie intake, all of these methods cause you to lose weight, long as you don't compensate by eating much more during those eating periods. So this does not work if you don't eat and then you go and you have McDonald's or Burger King or something that is going to really push your calories higher. So you're not trying to starve yourself where you binge eat. It's about learning the type of control comfortably. And this is why fasting and keto, as we talk about, has to be done properly. And usually if you're having problems with it, you're doing something wrong. So you're not starving and you're not binge eating. And so if you are restricting your calories over that time and you are converting your burning of energy to the fat that you have stored in your body rather than the sugar that's coming into your body, you should see some weight loss. So there's several different ways to do intermittent fasting, and all of them split the day or week into eating and fasting. So how does this all affect you? This is kind of what I was talking about. How does this all happen? So when you fast, several things happen to your body on a cellular and molecular level. For example, your body adjusts your hormones to make stored body fat more accessible. So if you look down, for those of you who do have a little fat and it's on your stomach, and we talked about kind of visceral fat and fat that's around your organs and the one that's underneath Silk's Rosa, which is underneath the skin. And what happens is it seems really hard to burn that fat unless you're in what we call a state of ketosis or starving. So you your cells also initiate important repair processes and change the expression of genes. So you actually get a lot of repair of cellular damage during your fasting periods because your body's not having to deal with all the sugar that's coming into your body. And so you get kind of time off to repair some things. And this is really, really good for your health. Some of the changes that occur when you fast is that the levels of what we call your human growth hormone increases. And this increases up to 5 times the normal amount. And this benefits for fat loss and muscle gain, just a few. So this is really good human growth hormone. Sometimes people try to supplement into their body, but by fasting, you have naturally increased this hormone, which allows you to lose fat and gain muscle much more appropriately. As I mentioned, the other one is gonna be insulin. So if you have insulin sensitivity, that improves when you add fasting to your diet or your lifestyle. The levels of insulin drop dramatically, and lower insulin levels make the stored body fat more accessible. So when you have low levels of insulin in your body, you can use up that fat that's stored in your body a lot quicker, and this helps you to lose weight faster. Cellular repair, as we mentioned, this happens during fasting. The cells process starts initiating. And this includes what we call autotrophy, which cells digest and remove old and dysfunctional proteins that build up inside your cells. So it's almost like a cellular detox, a renewing of cells, regeneration. All of this happens during this process of when you are fasting, so taking breaks from eating. And if you think about it, a lot of people don't realize that they are constantly eating, constantly snacking. It's like, you know, you're only having 2-3 hours break between a meal and a snack and another meal. So your body's continually in that process. And then the fourth hormonal change is gene expression. There are changes in the function of the genes related to longevity and protection against disease. So you see that people who include fasting in their lifestyle tend to live longer, tend to be better protected against chronic and severe diseases. And this is really, really important. So these changes in hormones, cell function, and gene expression are responsible for the health benefits of intermittent fasting. So when you fast, you get human growth hormone levels go up, your insulin levels go down, your body cells also change the expression of genes and initiate important cellular repair processes. So it's really, really powerful. And fasting is extremely powerful tool when it comes to weight loss. So weight loss is the most common reason why people try intermittent fasting. By making you eat fewer meals, intermittent fasting can lead to an automatic reduction in your calories. Because if you're eating, even if you're not doing keto, if you're eating less meals and you're not overeating during the time that you do have meals, then you will be eating less calories. So it's kind of an easy way to cut those calories without having to look at every little calorie that you're eating. In addition, of course, we talked about it lowering insulin and increasing growth hormone levels. It increases the release of fat-burning hormone norepinephrine or noradrenaline into the body. So you see it really activates different hormones in the body that will help you to lose that weight. These are really short term, but in overall, it leads to increases in your metabolic rate, which increases by about 3.4 to 14%. So that's a really great increase. So if you feel like you're trying to lose weight and you plateaued and you don't kind of know why, and you want to do something that's going to shake things up, you want to increase your metabolic rate so you can burn fat more easily, this is something to consider. By helping you eat fewer and burn more calories, intermittent fasting causes weight loss by changing both sides of the calorie equation. So we always talk about calories in and calories out. And of course, you can see how that affects that. So studies have shown it to be a very powerful weight loss tool. And a review in 2014, a study found that these eating patterns cause three loss over 3 to 24 weeks, which is a significant amount compared to most weight loss studies. So 3 to 8% of your body weight over 3 to 24 weeks. And, you know, we, as a physician, I do try to say that a healthy weight loss is somewhere between 5 and 10% over 6 months. So 3 to 24 weeks at a 3 to 8%, that's pretty good. That's pretty on target. That's pretty much where you want to be to healthily lose weight and optimize your weight loss. That study also showed that loss of 4 to 7% of their waist circumference, indicating a significant loss of harmful belly fat that builds up around your organs and causes disease. So 4 to 7% of your actual waistline, that is commendable, because you don't want to just look at weight in terms of healthiness or weight loss, but also you want to look at, you know, are you losing inches? Are you losing inches around your waist, and the actual body fat, is it going down? Another study showed that intermittent fasting causes less muscle loss than others. Standard methods of decreasing your calorie restrictions. And so you don't have that loss of muscle. And so some people complain they lose weight and they also lose muscle, but you don't want to lose muscle, because muscle, building muscle is linked to what we call fragility. And that allows you to bounce back better. If you were to have a problem later in life, you don't want to be a fragile person in the sense. And that is the difference between a person having a medical issue or a problem or setback and being able to rebound. So you want to keep your muscle mass. And so you don't want to lose that. You just want to lose the fat. Okay, so you just want to lose the fat. And that's why it's so intermittent fasting may slightly boost your metabolism while helping you to eat fewer calories, and is very effective way to lose weight and belly fat. So are there other health benefits? Of course there are. So many studies have looked at intermittent fasting in both animals and humans. And these studies have shown that there are other powerful benefits for weight control and health of your body and your brain. And it helps you to live longer. So there are some other health benefits that we're gonna talk about. Of course, we talked about weight loss. That just decreases your weight, your belly fat, and restricts your calories. When we talk about insulin resistance, so for those people who are pre-diabetic or kind of moving towards diabetes, this is really important for you, because intermittent fasting can actually reduce resistance inside the body and lower blood sugar by 3 to 6%. So fasting insulin levels by 20 to 31%, which helps to protect from getting type 2 diabetes. So if you are someone with a strong family history of type 2 diabetes, you've been trying to lose weight, intermittent fasting is probably gonna be helpful for a person like you. Inflammation, and of course we see inflammation markers in various illnesses and types of disease processes. So studies have shown that there is reduction in some of the markers that lead to inflammation, and it's which is a key driver in many chronic diseases, hypertension, diabetes, cancers, all of that stuff, all linked to inflammation. So as we can see, there is a difference there. All right, heart health. So intermittent fasting, reduce what we call the bad cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol, your blood triglycerides, other inflammatory markers, blood sugar, insulin resistance, all which are risk factors for heart disease. So you want to, it's able to reduce some of those risk factors for persons, especially if you're prone to that. Of course, cancers, so mostly animal studies there that suggest that intermittent fasting may be a preventative way to deal with cancer. And many cancer patients are actually advised to do fasting at some point, especially during their treatment. It's usually very, very helpful for them to deal with the chemo and cancer in general. So usually dietary changes and fasting is incorporated in their management plan. So brain health. Intermittent fasting increases the brain hormone BDNF, the growth of new nerve cells. It may also protect against Alzheimer's disease. So Alzheimer's disease, we seem to have a lot of that in this country. I see a lot of patients, especially a lot of home care patients, people who have dementia, what we call Alzheimer's disease a lot of times. And so fasting is a very protective against Alzheimer's disease. And there's a lot of studies, different studies on that, if you want to look that up. Anti-aging, so a lot of the women, you might be interested in the anti-aging properties of fasting. So intermittent fasting can extend lifespan in rats, and studies show that fasted rats live 36 to 83% longer. And if you, like we talk and we look back at some of the people, I have to ask my grandmother, who's 98, how often she eats a day, because I'm not sure if she's full three meals. So she's lived a long time. Definitely, I want to sit down with her and look at all the things that she's done. And she has her mind is very, very good. So she still has really good thought processes. You know, she's on point for a woman her age. So definitely want to look at that. And so there's a lot of research that's going on into that, because, you know, that's extremely important. Everybody wants to live a bit longer. But some of the studies have been really kind of small and short. And so there's a lot of bigger studies that need to be done, especially on hiring, you know, increasing the quality of life in human beings. So on summary for that point, intermittent fasting can have many benefits for your body and your brain, and it can cause weight loss and may reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. It might actually help you to live longer. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about how to make this simple, and then we're going to talk about some keto as well. So we'll be back in a moment with me, Dr. D, on the Doctor Zen.
Lifestyle can be difficult. At Fresh Market, we're making it easy to choose good for you foods with our endless selection of fresh produce and all natural organic specialty products, moving you closer to your New Year's goals. So, if you're looking to shed a few pounds with a ketogenic or whole food diet, shift things completely with paleo or raw foods, or just simply eat healthier, Fresh Market is your good. After all, what you eat is what you're made of.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, Business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
And welcome back to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. We're here on Guardian Talk Radio talking about intermittent fasting and how that, if it could be something that you are interested in or might be helpful for your health. We talked about how, you know, what is it and how, and what are the kind of the key objectives. If you have questions or you want to give us a little information about how it's worked for you, of course, you can jump in 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. So can you make your lifestyle easier and simpler by adding intermittent to your lifestyle? So eating healthy is it's simple, but it's hard to maintain. I mean, you have to really change your diet. And, you know, there are so many things that we enjoy eating out there that are just not good for us. So it's simple, but it's hard to do. And, you know, we as humans, we get stuck in kind of a rut of things that we're usually doing. And one of the main obstacles is, you know, planning and cooking and just kind of coming up with the stuff. And of course, nowadays, cost is a big part of that as well. But intermittent fasting can make things easier as you don't need to plan, cook, or clean up as much as before, because you're actually going to be cutting out some of those meals. So you can kind of really focus on one or two really main meals of the day. For this reason, intermittent fasting is very popular. It's basically helped a lot of people to kind of get over and get back into a healthier habit and simplifying your life. So it is much simpler than having to do multiple meals, multiple snacks, all of those things, much, much easier. So who should be careful or avoid it? Intermittent fasting isn't really for every person. And as I said at the beginning of the show, you really should sit down with your physician. Sit down with your doctor. If you don't have a doctor, you can reach out to us at Medical Concierge Services, but you should speak with your physician about whether this is right for you. Because if some people, it's just not going to be a good thing for. So people who are really underweight, people who already have eating disorders, so you know they don't eat healthily or they restrict their calories so much in a manner that is not healthy for them or it's not under the advice of a physician, they should really, if you're going to do it, you should have the consultation of a health nurse. And for some people, if not done correctly, it can be harmful, because some people don't take information that well and they need to be guided. Should women fast? There's some evidence that it's more beneficial to men. There are some studies that show that insulin sensitivity improved in men, but didn't really do a great job in some women. I think it's kind of how you take that food in, and this is where you need your doctor to be a part of that conversation to know what you need. As we talk later on a little bit about keto, I realize, you know, for women, especially because we, you know, women have a lot more estrogen and changes in your cycle and stuff like that. So it gets a little bit more tricky, and earlier on, you might need a lot more supplementation. So have that conversation. Through human studies on the topic, not a lot of it is available to animals. So for women, you want to be careful and you want to basically have that conversation with your doctor. And it just really made me realize, you know, so many differences when it comes to health and food and how women kind of take on some of that very, very differently. And sometimes need to follow kind of separate guidelines to men. And should go into something like this at a much more easy pace. So for men, they may be able to jump into an intermittent fasting cycle very easily. And for women, it might be subtle changes and maybe not as strict a diet. Because it could affect different things, even menstruation. So you want to look out for those types of things. Also, women who are pregnant or breastfeeding or have any kind of fertility, like I said, you should have this talk with your doctor. It may not be the best thing for you, but for a lot of people, it works really, really good. So like I said, people who are underweight, people with history of eating disorders should not be the persons to fast. And for some women, it might be a little more difficult and cause some complication. So safety and side effects. The main one, and I find this is if you're not doing it properly, because even though I had been eating breakfast for a little while, I guess because it was my normal routine, I just got started doing a bit of intermittent fasting again. A lot of people say they get really hungry, and I don't really get hungry. And that's probably because naturally I don't get hungry until probably after 11. And so it might make it easier for me. So you got to know yourself. But hunger is basically one of the main side effects of intermittent fasting. Some people get a little weak. I think it's if you're not doing it properly. Usually that stuff is really temporary, though. If you stick with it, you kind of get over that as your body adjusts to eating differently. If you have any medical conditions, of course, like I say, you consult your doctor before trying intermittent fasting. A lot of people go and try these things on their own, and then they're not successful and they stop when they might need tweaking, or they might have an issue which doesn't allow them to do it. So if you have diabetes or issues with blood sugar regulation, you want to do this with your physician. If you have low blood pressure, if you're on any medications, if you're underweight, if you have a history of eating disorders, as we mentioned, trying to conceive, a history of amenorrhea, as in not having periods, women who don't have their periods on time, or who are pregnant or breastfeeding. But on that, the safety profile seems to be pretty good, unless you have a specific problem. And like I said, work with your doctor, or it just may not be the right thing for you. So the common side effects of intermittent fasting is basically hunger, and people with certain medical conditions should not fast without consulting their doctor. So people tend to ask if they can drink or do certain things whilst doing intermittent fasting. And what I've seen is as long as you have drinks that are low in calories, they can be incorporated and used throughout the day. So usually when I wake up in the morning, since I've got started over this past week, the water with maybe a little lemon in that, or just plain water itself. So water, coffee, or tea, because if you're doing coffee or tea, you're not gonna be adding sugar, you need to have it black. I have seen where people can add a bit of cream to their coffee or tea, but just absolutely not a good way to start that off. So you wanna do a beverage that has little to no calories whatsoever. And so you're not gonna add sugar to your coffee and tea. Coffee can be particularly beneficial during fasting as it tends to blunt hunger, but I cannot drink coffee black. I have yet to try it with a little bit of cream. So I really love water. So I do some water, usually a little water and lemon or something like that. But I will maybe try a coffee with a little bit of cream. Is it unhealthy to skip breakfast? Well, you know, we have been taught that you're supposed to eat three meals a day, you're supposed to have snacks in between. I mean, like, where did that really come from? And what I saw with it is, like, you can almost push your breakfast back a few hours, more so than not having a breakfast at all. It's just about kind of scrunching the time period that you intake your calories so that you don't have insulin circulating in your body. So it is not unhealthy. If you eat proper foods during the rest of the day and you get the type of nutrients you need for your body to regenerate and to, you know, yes. So Emil online says he doesn't like breakfast. Me either, Emil. I actually got into breakfast, as I mentioned earlier, due to my family and other people really liking breakfast, but I can do without it. Can you take supplements whilst fasting? Yes. However, you have to keep in mind that you're looking at fat-soluble vitamins may work better when taken with meals. So I find vitamins can be hard on your stomach if you haven't eaten. So if you are going to do vitamins, that's going to be with your food. But what you want to do is learning how to eat the proper nutrients to take care of your body. So it probably will require greens, vegetables that you're eating to make up for the nutrient requirements, but you can do certain vitamins. And as we switch over to look at keto in a bit, you'll see that there's certain vitamins that are gonna be really helpful for you. Can I work out whilst fasting? Yes, fasting workouts are fine. Some people take additional branch chain amino acids before they work out. That may help, but from what I've seen is that when you work out during the fasting period, it's actually probably the best, and then have your meal afterwards. So having your workout in the morning whilst your body is in a state of fasting and then eating afterwards is gonna be a lot better than eating and then working out. Will fasting cause much muscle loss? So all weight loss methods can cause muscle loss, which is why it's important to make sure you're doing those types of things and to make sure that you have the appropriate amount of protein intake. Studies have shown that intermittent fasting causes much less than regular calorie restriction. So if you're losing, you're looking to retain your muscle mass, it's actually very helpful, like we said, because you're gonna be exercising during the times when you're fasting and burning fat and less of your muscle mass itself. Will fasting slow down my metabolism? No, studies show that short-term fasting actually boosts your metabolism. However, when you're going to do longer fast, and usually you'll see this with a spiritual fast, or for persons who've been doing intermittent fasting for a while and they're challenging their body to do longer fast, 48, 72 hours or more, which of course you have to be careful and you have to consult your physician with that and make sure you're not diabetic or anything like that. Your metabolism if not done correctly. So you want to, unless you really know what you're doing and you have guidance, you don't want to do three or more days of fasting on your own. Should children do fasting? Usually you don't want to, you don't have fasting with children. Children tend to not need it. They have very fast metabolisms. It's a good time, however, when it comes to children to build those healthy appetites in them, fruits, vegetables, exercise, because this is when they take it all in and whatever they learn and do at this stage, they're gonna take with them for the rest of their life. So if you wanna instill some healthy choices with them, great, but kids don't really need to do any kind of fasting. So how do you get started? Chances are that at some point in your life, you've done some form of intermittent fasting if you look back at it. You've eaten dinner, then slept late or not eaten until lunch the next day, and you probably have fasted for at least 16 plus hours. So it's doable. Some people instantly eat that way normally. So I'm actually going back to my normal way. They simply don't feel hungry in the morning. So there are quite a few of us out there, it seems. So comment online. Yes, my parents install healthy foods and it's a lifestyle. So yes, start early. Many people consider that the 16 and 8 method is the simplest and most sustainable way. So if you want to get started, that would probably be the easiest way to go. And you might want to try this practice first before you try to extend that at all. If you find it easy and feel good during the fast, and maybe you move on to more advanced fast, like your 24-hour fast, once to twice a week, or restricting your calories on certain days. Another approach is to simply fast whenever it's convenient, simply skip meals from time to time when you're not hungry or don't have the time to cook. So a really key thing is not eating, only eating. And sometimes we eat because we are just trained to eat at a certain time. So it's lunchtime. It's kind of like a Pavlov's dog, you know, we're conditioned to do these things. So you wake up in the morning and you automatically say, I have to have breakfast. I have to have lunch. I have to have dinner. I have to have a snack. But are you really hungry? And that is the question you should ask yourself. Do I feel hunger? Do I feel the need for food? And when you start being driven by if you really need to eat or not, you find that things definitely change. And if you find that you're requiring to eat quickly, you try it a couple of times and you're always hungry, I say come and get a physical because you know you want to make sure you're not insulin sensitive or diabetic. And that might be why it's difficult to do that. So, you know, it's always important to go and get a physical, get your checkups so that you know it's going to start any kind of lifestyle adjustment. See where you are, and then you can go from there. So yes, comment online from Ms. Ferguson. I told my friends we should only be eating when we're hungry. Yeah, Bahamian culture, that's right. Bahamian culture, a lot of people just eat because it's lunchtime, eat because it's dinner time. And they're not actually hungry. I don't think some people even know what it is to be hungry. And so your body is the best indicator for when you need things, right? It lets you know when you need something, usually. It lets you know when you're hungry, it lets you know when you're thirsty. And so, you know, your body is in tune with your needs. And a lot of people, you know, they eat because just to eat, not because it's enjoyable, not because they need to, but just as a constant cycle of eating. And then a lot of people also kind of don't take their cues in terms of like drinking water when they're thirsty. I find a lot of Bahamians don't drink water, you know? So if you're feeling thirsty, you should be drinking water. And if you drink sodas and all this other stuff, you're gonna be hungry and you're gonna be thirsty again. So it makes sense to pick up a bottle of water and drink that. All right, so this, and you know, this can work and be tweaked personally for your own benefits. And I sit down with a lot of patients and kind of look at what works for them. You know, some people need different approaches over time because, you know, you need something that you're gonna stick with. I don't like to use the word diet. You need a lifestyle adjustment that works for you and that will keep you doing the things that are required for you to be healthy in this life and to live a longer life, to have what we call a high quality of life. Because you have many people who are living longer, but what is the quality of their life? You know, are they walking? Are they happy? Are they able to do the things they do? Are they riddled with disease? Do they have a cabinet of medication? You know, so those are the things we look at, the quality of life, not just the length of a life. And these are the things that are gonna add quality. So Ferguson says, I finally don't feel weird, doctor, you are speaking truth. Yes, Ferguson, we should only be eating if we're hungry, right? So should you try it? So intermittent fasting is something that everybody should really know about. It's really simple to do. It can help you improve your health. You should be focused on eating real food, exercising, taking care of your sleep, and are still very important factors to focus on. And if you don't like the idea of fasting, then you can simply ignore this completely and do something else. But if you find that what you're doing is not working for you, this is something that you can definitely think about. At the end of the day, there's no one size fit all. And that's why I believe in what I call tailored medicine, sitting down with an individual patient and kind of figuring out what would be the best path and management for you, for them all. There are some core things that work, but outside of that, you know, usually you can find a balance that works for you. And so it's gonna be great for some people, it's gonna be not so great for other people, but it's something to consider. So we're gonna move on from there. Unless there are any questions, the phone line is 322-6232, 316-325-4259. And we're gonna take a look at really at keto and how do we then add that to our diet. I was gonna talk a little bit more about intermittent fasting, but you know, time, it's already 8:23. So we're gonna talk a little bit more about keto and what that really is. And I don't know if a lot of you've heard about keto, but it is a, it's more of what you eat to add to the how you eat. So the intermittent fasting aspect is kind of how do you eat? How do you change your pattern of behavior? But now we want to look at what do you eat? So if you're thinking about doing something like keto and you're adding it to intermittent fasting, that's where we're really going. So a ketogenic or a keto diet is basically a low carb diet. It's higher in fat and so it switches out. So if you look at what is carb, so if you look at a typical Bahamian diet is very heavy on carbs. Potatoes, rice, we eat a fair amount of pasta too. Our macaroni is like our pasta, what we eat a lot of. And, very kind of starchy foods. And these are the foods that really raise your insulin levels. And they help people to be led to diabetes. And we have a problem with diabetes in this country. So we have to change the way we eat foods. So with the keto diet, what you're doing is you're lowering the carbohydrates, these different fats are. So people look at a potato and they don't think sugar. But these are the foods that break down very readily to sugar in your body and lead to diabetes. So you want to cut down your carbs. So keto is lowering those types of food in your diet, increasing the good fat in your diet so that it helps you to train your body to burn fat. So fat that you take in and the fat that's in your body. And there's quite a few health benefits when you do that and if you do it properly. So many studies show that this type of diet can help you to lose weight and improve your health. Ketogenic diets may even have benefits against diabetes, cancer, epilepsy, and Alzheimer's disease. And so we're going to look at how do we begin to look at that. So the ketogenic diet is, as we say, a very low-carb diet. It's diabetes to lifestyle adjustment or diets called Atkins or low-carb diets in general. It involves drastically reducing your carbohydrates intake and replacing it with fats. And this reduction in carbs puts your body into a metabolic state that we call ketosis. When this happens, your body becomes incredibly efficient at burning the fat for energy. And it also turns fat into ketones in the liver, which can help supply energy for your brain. So ketones are actually a form of energy for your brain. And so what you're doing is converting from using the sugars from those starchy foods as your source of energy, which is not a great way to go, to burning fat and creating the ketones that are going to be great for your brain health. So a ketogenic diet can cause significant reductions in your blood sugar and your insulin levels. Increased ketones has a lot of health benefits and improves your metabolism and moves it from the carbs to the ketones itself. So burning fat to provide a better energy supply for your body is basically the premise of ketosis. So there's different types of this diet. And you look at a standard ketogenic diet and it's very low carb, moderate protein and high fat. So about 70% of your calories are going to be coming from good forms of fat, 20% proteins, which would be like your meats, and only 10% from carbohydrates. So as you can see, carbohydrates becomes a very small portion of where you get your food and energy from. And there is the cyclical keto diet, which we feed such as 5 ketogenic days followed by 2 high carb days. And I also call this, this is what I call carb cycling, where you can have, days where you can have more carbohydrates. And so you're kind of doing like a 5 and 2, similar to what you did with the fasting, where you have 5 days where you're kind of really lowering your carbohydrates and then 2 days where you're kind of maybe a little bit higher so that you're not craving carbohydrates. And then you have a targeted ketogenic diet. This is a diet which allows you to add carbs around your workouts. So if you are working out really hard and you need more carbohydrates because you're actually burning a lot of both fats and needing requiring a lot of energy, you can do it that way as well. And then you have a high protein ketogenic diet, which is similar to the standard keto, but includes more protein. So 5% protein and 5% carbs. And like you say, this, you kind of look to see what would fit for you. However, the standard and high protein ketogenic diets have been studied extensively, and the cyclic or targeted keto diets are more advanced methods and primarily used by bodybuilders and athletes. The information in here that we're going to talk about is mostly going to be about the standard ketogenic diet, and we're going to look at some of the principles that are involved with that version. So what we have is several versions of the keto diet, and the standard version, which is most researched and most recommended, is what we're going to talk about. So what is ketosis? We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about what is ketosis, how do we achieve that, and what does that mean. So in a few minutes on the Doctor's End with me, Dr. Dinotha Archer.
Blend business,
the economy,
finance, business,
industry,
government sector,
private sector,
financial services,
tourism,
personal finance,
investing advice,
consumer issues, consumer rights,
trends and business opportunities.
Morning Blend Business, following Morning Blend every weekday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes each and every one of us to grow the Bahamas. Dive into the stories, we identify the issues, and we engage the people, organizations, and institutions that keep the country running. On the Clock with Aaron Green, weekdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
It's happening. And it's all straight talk with no chaser. And Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss that.
Hello and welcome back to the Doctor's End with me, Dr. Dinotha Archer Cartwright. Thank you for joining us tonight on Guardian Radio for another exciting show on all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society. You can join in at 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tonight we talked a little bit about intermittent fasting, and now we're talking about the ketogenic diet and ketosis in general, and how we can use these tools to change our lifestyle and change the way we look at food and become healthier human beings. And so we're just going to jump right back into it. What is ketosis? Ketosis is a metabolic state in which your body uses fat as fuel instead of carbs. And what you're going to do is you're significantly reducing your consumption of carbohydrates, and you're limiting your body's supply of glucose, or what we call sugar, which is the main source of energy for most cells. When we follow a ketogenic diet, it is the most effective way to enter ketosis. And generally, this involves limiting our carbohydrate consumption to around 20 to 50 grams per day. and filling up on fats from really good meats, fish, eggs, nuts, and healthy oils. So when we talk about fats, people think we talk about like the fat that you're frying your food in and stuff. No, we're talking about the natural fats that are in foods such as meat and those healthy oils that we're going to talk about. So it's important to moderate your protein consumption. This is because protein can be converted into glucose and is consumed in high amounts, which may slow your transition into ketosis. So it's not just eating a ton of meat. You want the meat-like products for their fat content more so than their protein. And so that is what you're really after. By practicing intermittent fasting can also help you to enter ketosis. So you can see where these two things, the process of changing the pattern of your eating and the foods itself, are actually work together to enter you into a ketotic state where you're using less carbohydrates. So there are many different types of intermittent fasting, which we talked about. And the main one that we talked about was where you're going to limit your food for about 18 hours and fast for six, down to six and even four if you've been doing it for a while. So how do you know that you're in ketosis? There are some blood, urine, and breath tests that are available to determine if you've entered ketosis by measuring the amount of ketones in your body. So if you really, really want to be able to say that you're in ketosis, you could test yourself. There's also certain symptoms, which include thirst, dry mouth, frequent urination, decreased hunger or appetite. So your decreased hunger or appetite are also signs that you're certainly in ketosis. So ketosis is basically that metabolic state in which your body uses fat for fuel instead of carbohydrates. Modifying your diet and practicing intermittent fasting can help you enter that a lot faster, and certain tests can show you that you are in that state. So how does a ketogenic diet help you to lose weight? Well, it is very effective, and it also lowers risk factors for certain diseases. So research has shown that the ketogenic diet may be effective for weight loss. What's more is the diet is so filling that you can lose weight without counting calories or tracking your food intake. So if you're like me, I don't really like counting calories or tracking food intake. I would like a simpler system to do that. So in review of over 13 different studies, they found that a very low carb ketogenic diet was slightly more effective for long-term weight loss than a low fat diet. People who followed the keto diet lost an average of 2 pounds or more than the group that followed a low fat diet. So longer term, which is what we want, a lot of people lose the weight quickly, but then they gain it right back. Keto actually helps people to sustain that because of the simplicity of it. What's more, it also leads to reduction in diastolic blood pressure. So if you're hypertensive, it might be helpful for you. And if you have high levels of triglycerides, so cholesterol in your body, then this will also be helpful. Other studies showed in older adults found that those who followed the ketogenic diet for at least 8 weeks lost nearly 5 times as much as total body fat as those who followed a low fat diet. So remember before, people pushed the low fat diet quite often. We found that even by now changing to a ketotic diet, it's even better. So the increase in ketones, it lowers your blood sugar levels, improves your insulin sensitivity, and all of that plays a role in the benefits. All right, so a ketogenic diet can help you lose weight, slightly more weight than a low fat diet. And this often happens with less hunger. So if you're less hungry, you're less likely to binge, and you're less more likely to stick with the diet itself. The ketogenic diet for diabetics and diabetes. So like I said, if you do have a chronic illness, you want to do this with the consultation of your physician. But diabetes is characterized by change in metabolisms, high blood sugar, and impaired insulin function. The ketogenic diet can help those persons lose the excess fat, which is closely linked to type 2 diabetes, prediabetes, and what we call metabolic syndrome, which is kind of the precursor to all of the like the triad of bad things, cholesterol, blood pressure, hypertension, your metabolic syndrome. And those are linked usually to the fat, the excess weight, and keto is a great way to reduce all of that. One study found that ketogenic diet improved insulin sensitivity by 75%. So for my diabetics out there, this is something to sit down and talk to your doctor about. A small study in women with type 2 diabetes also found that the ketogenic diet for 90 days significantly reduced the levels of HbA1c, which is a measure of long-term blood sugar management. And so why you have to do this with your doctor, especially diabetics who are on insulin, you know, you have such fluctuations in your sugar that you would need monitoring if you're going to move forward with doing fasting, intermittent fasting, or ketosis. What's more, they also experienced improved blood sugar management and the use of certain blood sugar medications decreased among participants throughout the course of the study. The ketogenic diet can basically boost your insulin sensitivity, cause fat loss, lead to significant health benefits with people with type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes. So if you are pre-diabetic, really, I love to see people before they get diabetes, stop it in its track and go from there. So what other benefits? Similar to intermittent fasting, there are a wide variety of health conditions that are affected and improved by starting a ketogenic diet. So when we look at heart disease, it improves risk factors such as body fat, improving the good cholesterol, HDL, improves blood pressure and sugar. So it is very cardioprotective in a sense. Cancer, the diet is currently being explored as an additional treatment for cancer because it may help to slow the rate of tumor growth. So they are looking at some studies at how this is going to be helpful for cancer patients. A keto diet may help to reduce symptoms of Alzheimer's disease and slow its progression. There's been some research in epilepsy, so that's people with seizures, and how the diet can reduce seizures in children with epilepsy, so dietary control, Parkinson's disease, but there's more research that needs to that, but that's looking very promising. Polycystic ovarian syndrome, so for the women out there who are suffering from hirsutism and polycystic ovarian disease, ketogenic diet can help reduce your insulin levels, which may play a role in that syndrome. And so for a lot of women who have PCOS, they'll know that we sometimes put them on diabetes medication, one of the diabetic medications, metformin, to help them with their symptoms because there is an insulin sensitivity issue that's involved there. But here you have a more natural way of maybe dealing with that. Usually these women will have a weight issue as well. So you can see how this would be a positive way of dealing with their risk factors. Brain injuries, some research suggests that the diet can improve outcomes for traumatic brain injuries. And we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Archer.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I was giving you, you know, the thing is, everything, you know, the thing is, you're always on top of these paradigms, you know. I just listened to you, and I realized I had some, I know these are correct, what you're saying, but the thing is, some people get offended when you try to make things simple on the radio, right? Like, you know, I like how you bring in the significance of the sugar, right? But, you know, the fasting is the reason why the Almighty God told us to fast. I know you know of autophagy, right?
Yeah, we spoke about it just briefly earlier. Yeah,
but the autophagy deals with it. Actually, in fasting, when autophagy kicks in, the body actually cleans up all of the cells as a result of apoptosis, right? Yeah, so, you know, so there's a reason for that. And so with the sugar, let's say you have the glucagon, right? But let's say the sugar, the more sugar the body takes in, then the liver produces more LDL and then reduces the amount of HDL, right? But there's an Indian guy on, and so these paradigms about this HDL and this HDL and LDL, those are really, what happens is, I think there's a lot of scarring on these blood vessels, and they're saying that the LDL is the one that actually patches up, and this is what causes the cholesterol problem. But obviously, the sugar intake causes the liver to produce more triglycerides, and like I said last week, the simple carbohydrates leads to all sorts of hormonal imbalances, which is basically metabolic syndrome. And so people get offended, but you try to create a sense of how granulated sugar works, right? I was called Dwight the other day. It was a guy on as a sports guy. I was explaining to him that not only, all right, the sugar cane is a natural plant, right, Dr. D? The fact that it is processed. And like I was saying, most people don't understand the reason why chemicals and detergents and certain things are granulized. It is to increase the surface area. Am I correct?
Yes.
You granulate things to get a better surface area. The villi in the digestive system, they're finger-like projections, and there's a lot of them, and they're small, and they are in increased amounts because they have to deal with absorption. When you're dealing with, this is the reason why you masticate your food, right, Dr. D? To get a better absorption.
You break it down and
you increase the surface area. So what I was trying to explain that I learned from this Indian doctor, I can't remember his name right now. When you use granulated refined sugar, the body is not used to that high absorption rate of such a high glycemic index product. It is designed for fast absorption, and that is what really creates a whole host of problems. And they notice, you know, that the sugar industry has so much money, they have been duping us for years as far as the false information and saying what is healthy and what is not. But we know that the brain actually needs glucose, right? But it's the types of glucose. But there are studies, you saw the study about the high fructose intake in which they actually lose cognitive abilities. They couldn't recognize simple things. This is a known study.
Anything with high concentrated fructose like that should just not be consumed by human beings.
Yeah, and so what I wanted to touch on, and these are facts, you know, they actually showed where the high sugar intake, where the sugar actually breaches the blood-brain barrier, enters the brain, and disrupts the microglia, or the microbial cells that actually go around and devour the dead cells and dead nerve cells. But what it shows is a high sugary diet actually makes the microglia go into frenzy and eat healthy brain cells. So this is a link between Alzheimer's, and they know these things, Dr. D. This is why we people who understand ignorance is our greatest enemy. I'm glad you're not speaking about COVID-19 because I had a good laugh the other night. I turned on the news. I saw something called Neo. What is it called? I had a good laugh at it. But anyhow, I have one for them, doctors. I got a little joke for you tonight because I got to get a little humor sometime. I got a new one for the psychiatrist. You know, the psychiatrist to sit down every year and have a meeting and then stomp the thing down and say what disease they are in the diagnostic and statistical manual, right? I'm suffering from reading anxiety, depression disorder. All right.
But
the thing is, it's a joy to listen to you, right? But we're not really interested in the truth, and it's becoming quite evident. All right. You know, one of the things people should realize is you should be able to have the ability to separate truth from lie. And so, as a human being, you know, like there was a lady on the Haja, I mean, somebody, I can't remember, she was on Dwight's show this morning, I believe. I think the Haja, she's a mathematician, what the lady name was, come up, Palm. She's from CIFAR. She's a mathematician, but she's very, I agree with everything she said. And so, we know knowledge is power, and so a lot of people associated with being rich, right? But as ex-slaves, I don't think we really trust and love one another. Because we don't like to listen to one another, and there's no collective agenda different from politics. I notice when people talk politics, there's great enthusiasm and way. And you know, I've been ridiculed on the radio so much, Dr. D, right, for speaking the truth. I'm desensitized to what people say. I really would appreciate if most of the talk show hosts wouldn't read commentary on me and certain people, and because we're not the people who call and enlighten people are not really the problem, you know. You understand what I'm saying? But it's kind of disappointing when people turn their anger at you, even though you were speaking the truth. It's really disappointing and it's disheartening for me.
I wouldn't worry about those types of things. You know, there are a lot of people
I know, but I agree with you, Dr. D. Do you read?
And there's a bit of this kind of pseudo intellectualism that's going on.
Yeah, but they're trying to gaslight like me. It's like a intellectual or knowledge apartheid in which that if you know how to start a school, you don't know anything. But the thing is, they don't understand about 52, right? It's 52, study philosophy. I listen to dub poetry. You know, I'm a guy from the 60s, man. I'm not really impeded. I'm a Leo. You know what is a Leo? You know, the thing is, where there's no danger, there's no courage. You feel me? You understand, Dr. D?
I hear you.
Yeah, where there's no danger, there's no courage. That's an aphoristic statement, Dr. D.
I was just talking to someone about this actually today on another thing, and I think people are comfortably oppressed. And if you try to break their idea of reality, you're destroying someone's complete concept of life.
But
so a lot of people are comforted in being soft oppression, I guess, soft shackles.
Yeah, but the thing is, have you ever read a book named The Origins of Consciousness? You know, I didn't read the full book, but I got a concept of what they were saying, right? And so, you know, the thing is, with mass conformity and herd mentality, what the pandemic, scamdemic, whatever, has revealed, right, is that supposedly educated people and sound people have agreed to others' inalienable rights being taken away. So that means that mass conformity, mass psychosis, whatever, right, prison of the mind, et cetera, that you're willing to accept immoral, unconstitutional, right, abrogation of human rights just to be a conformist. You understand me? That is scary for me as a human in this human journey. All right?
Well, like I said, a lot of people are comfortable in that place, right? People don't want disturb how comfortable they are. And so they would rather ignore reality and the truth rather than to disrupt that. And what we learned during COVID is that how quickly people fall in line, and they will fight for that spot in that line.
I just want to ask you a question. I saw on the high school chat, I mean, you know, the scholars chat, that they were saying Boris Yeltsin, and I saw some European countries that dropped the COVID pandemic protocols. Is that correct? These people dropped these
mandates. Sorry, say it again. I'm not sure.
In Europe and Boris Johnson, they dropped the COVID mandate protocols in UK, France, et cetera, et cetera. I was saying, is that correct?
Well, yes, it's correct. You're not seeing a lot of things on mainstream media.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Boris Johnson was almost forced into that position because he was caught partying during the exact same time when he was scaremongering people into.
But, you know, I believe World War III is about to break out. Yeah, of course he was fear mongering, right? But, you know, by now, the global sheep should have been awakened. The world consists of two people, those who are awake and those who are asleep. But of those who are asleep, but those who don't think too deep.
Some people choose to stay where they are. That is just where we are. And, you know, you will find lots of ease and comfort when you realize that. And don't worry about them, because
I can't, but Dr. D, blind belief.
Eventually.
Blind belief.
I think it's coming. There's a lot of that, you know. You have to understand when you look at the atrocities of the world and realize that a lot of those were backed by the majority of people. You know, we go back in history and say, how does this happen? How does that happen? But a lot of these things were backed by the majority of people.
It happens. It happens to, you know, the psychiatrist downplayed the significance of mass psychosis that some people were saying mass. But I was not familiar with it until Dr. Malone, you said, mentioned it. But I always call it mass psychosis. I call it prison of the mind. I call it group psychology. Whatever I call it, I don't be too far from the truth. You feel me? So this is what I'm witnessing now. Mass psychosis, prison of the mind. This is what I'm saying. It's people, you know, freedom of expression. They, well, you know, they said 52 was calling the radio trying to stop people from getting vaccinated, right? But they you know, heard me, right? You had rich people, right? Who, you know, like simple-minded fools who believe because someone rich, they could come on the radio and tell me to go get vaccinated. When I know the difference between specific and non-specific antibodies, reassortment, I don't need to get into all the scientific BS, Dr. D, but, you know, the thing is...
I got you, Dr. D.
But I'm saying is, when are we going to get ahead? And this pandemic wouldn't end until the global chief says it ends.
Yep, that's basically what it is when everyone decides that they've had enough. Everybody has a different tipping point. Not everybody's going to be astute. I think the slowly the tides are turning as people realize, I mean, eventually reality smacks you in the face. And if you can't see what's going on at this point, you know, there's a little hope for you. And then some people, it's an ego thing. You know, they went so hard with this. They don't know how to turn back. And so give it some time. I think there's hope at the end of it all. And I think in terms of America, we know that they have to go into elections later in this year. And so they're going to have to do some pivoting because a lot of our response are not health conscious. And sadly, we have officials that seem to just want to hold on to that power, but they've got to let it go. Thank you, 52. We kind of got off track, but you know, always spirited to have you join in the discussion and bring your point of view. You know, I like someone who thinks, I think you're definitely thinking about things, and I wouldn't worry about the people who don't appreciate your comments. So we're just gonna wrap up what we were talking about and just kind of talk about quickly, the other health benefits of keto, things that we should look out for. So we talked about the different diseases that it impacts. And of course, there's some foods that you want to just keep off of your diet list. And so sugary foods, sodas, juices, those things, we talk about this stuff all the time. Grains and starches, though, when you're talking keto, because a lot of people think grains are going to be good, but you're going to cut down on those wheat-based products, rice, pasta, cereal. You want to cut down on most fruit, except for small portions of berries like strawberries. And you know, you can kind of tweak this depending on, but you're not gonna do a lot of high fruit because it does have a lot of natural sugar. So smaller quantities, beans and legumes, root vegetables, potatoes, carrots, parsnips, low fat or diet products. People don't realize that usually things that are low fat, low sugar, you know, when they use these words, they're replacing it with other things that aren't good for you. So you don't want to do the low fat or diet products. If you're going to actually do these things, you're just going to use them. Some condiments, you're going to cut down on your barbecue sauce, honey mustard, teriyaki ketchup. Those things are really, really high in sugar. I know we all love them. So when you're doing this, you know, there are some sacrifices. You want to get rid of the unhealthy fats, like your processed vegetable oils, certain mayonnaise, unless it's made with, you know, olive oils and other stuff. I love mayonnaise. I'm sorry. I might just, I talk about tweet. And you want to cut down your alcohol, your beer, your wine, your liquor, and anything that says sugar-free candies or anything like that. All those types of food are just filled with other junk that's not going to be good for you. So you're avoiding all these carb-based foods, grains, legumes, rice, potatoes, candy, juice, and some fruits. You want to all eat your meat, your fish, your eggs, butter, cream, cheese, nuts, eggs, healthy oils, which would be your olive oils, avocados, low-carb vegetables, your green veggies, tomatoes, onions, peppers. And you want to stick to the really basic condiments, which would be like salt, pepper, herbs, and spices. Base the majority of your diet on such foods as meat, fish, eggs. So it's really simplifying your diet, right? Nuts, healthy oils, avocados, plenty of low-carb vegetables. And it's good to go and out there and get like a sample meal plan so that you know that you're following the keto diet directly. There are lots of nuances of this that we didn't talk about, you know, looking at how much carbs, da, 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 da. But I think if you're starting off, if you want to just simply cut back on your carbohydrates, you're going to be making a good decision and cutting down that insulin in your body and just leading to better health. So I hope all of this was helpful. Like I said, reach out to call us at 326-1521. At Medical Concierge Services. We'll be happy to help you. And of course, our WhatsApp line, 429-4880. And we're still signing up people for NHI. So come and check us out or check us out online. But thank you all for listening tonight. And we will talk to you all next week for another exciting show with me, Dr. D. Archer, on The Doctor's Inn. Good night.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.